Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 319. Talking Dead is coming back Sunday, February 10th. We are on immediately after the first airing of The Walking Dead, and it's going to be an hour long. Which is good, because we're actually going to get to ask more fan questions and have people in the studio audience ask questions. And this season's going to be really fun because The Walking Dead's not shooting at the moment, so we have the opportunity to get more cast members on, which was difficult at the beginning of last season because they were all working. So we'll see how it goes. But the first episode, Steve Young, a.k.a. Glenn, and also Kevin Smith. So it's going to be... It's going to be a huge Walking Dead fucking party, and I'm just glad the show's back because I have not seen it yet, and I need to know what's going on with Daryl and Merle. I think about it sometimes, just in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, I wonder what those two are going to do. So finally, I will get to see the episode this Sunday, and you will too. So tune in. I would like to thank LegalZoom for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast.
Say, are you waiting for the perfect time to start your dream business or incorporate your dream business or form an LLC? Maybe patent this stupid voice I'm doing right now.
You can do everything that you need to do on LegalZoom.com. In the past 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom for LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more. They've saved hundreds, even thousands of dollars. And they have an online process guide to give you step-by-step instructions if you need total customer support. They'll give it to you. They even have an attorney if you need it through some of their legal plans if you need to get walked through, and that's available in most states. So start your business and protect your family today at LegalZoom.com. You can also get a special discount from listening to this podcast. Enter Nerdist in the referral box to check out for more savings. LegalZoom, by the way, is not a law firm. You can get self-help services at your specific direction, or you can speak with a legal plan attorney to get your questions answered and get ongoing advice. LegalZoom.com. And now it's time for this episode. Our buddy TJ Miller is back on the podcast. I love TJ Miller. He's an absolute joy to talk to. Just such a fun, sweet guy. And I always enjoy our episodes. You know, you don't really get to hang out with your friends as much when you get busier, and then they get busier. And so the podcast is really when we get to hang out with each other, which is fun, but also kind of pathetic. We should fucking make time to hang out with each other. But TJ's great. And he has a new show called The Gore Burger Show, which is amazingly hilarious on Funny or Die. You know what? I'm not going to describe it to you. I will let you go watch it, and you form your own image of what you think the show is. But it's a fucking awesome interview show. And now let's do this one. There's podcast number 319 with TJ Miller returning. Oh, also listen to Cashing In with TJ Miller and Cash Levy. It's a podcast. We produce it. The circle is complete.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You had Tegan there, you had dudes from At the Drive-In.
Yeah.
Or was it just Mars Volta?
Mars Volta, guy. Yeah. Mars Volta.
And you said you had coming up Rollins, Flea from...
I think Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah,
that ended up being... We tried to get Flea from Fleetwood Mac.
Which is a very funny...
Remember that joke from earlier off air?
Remember that time we talked in a conversation with friends and then we used it on...
But that Fleetwood Mac is actually just like a really funky bass-only Fleetwood Mac cover band.
Yeah. It's just one guy.
You can see it's just like this bar in the valley and he's there every night. They don't even ask him to show up anymore.
On Sundays, he does it with a mop bucket. Like a mop,
yes.
A mop bucket.
Yes. Like, it's just a string.
It's a bar that's like next to Residuals, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually... He just does it out back.
That's Fleetwood Mop is dimples. What he's calling that one.
I thought it was Sweepwood Mac.
Aye. But we have to stay with the Flea because it's still Flea.
Shit. Oh, then I was talking about a whole other thing.
Structure. Proper structure.
So you were showing us Gore Burger.
Yeah, and it's, I think, one of the most fun things I've ever done. Certainly one of the more fun things I'm doing right now. But it was these guys approached me, Funny or Die produces it. And this guy came out, he was drunk, this producer, and he came out of this bar where they had gone after they wrapped a Funny or Die video and we had wrapped a day of mashup. And he just came out and he goes, "Hey, TJ, I'm Sean Boyle. You don't know me, but we really want you to be the voice of this blue alien monster that takes over a Japanese talk show and then interviews indie rock bands."
I mean, they could not... They really understood how your brain works.
Yeah, sure.
And the next line should have been, "Now get in this van."
Yeah, and I would have. I actually said, "Where's the van?" He was like, "No, we'll contact you about it later."
No, but I want to get in a van.
Yeah, I'm like, "Look, if there's a van to get into, I'll do it."
"Where's your rag? I want to sniff it."
Yeah. I'll let the lawyers suss this out, but I do need a van to get into.
So we, you know, we ended up talking about it, and it's amazing. It's a huge $40,000 puppet, which, Chris, when I said that, you know, puppets are expensive.
Puppets are expensive. I've worked with puppets for the last year. They're fun, but working with puppets is way more intense than you think it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're really method.
They won't even do anything until you shove a hand up their ass.
And you have to call them. You have to call them by their character name.
Yeah, they don't do shit.
Or they won't even answer. You got to turn them on. It's a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
But I control it. There's a mocap guy in the suit who's like a physical actor, and then I control it with it looks like a radio control car, one of those remotes.
So you do the mouth and the eyes and the whole.
I do the mouth and the jaw, and then the eyes are done by the puppeteers who made the puppet. They do the eyes. And everybody kind of mimics my gestures, and they listened to me for a long time. And the motion capture guy like sat with me for a couple hours.
Are you doing the voice as it's happening, or
It's all live. So I interact with these bands. It must be so strange for the bands. You know, we've got this season, the next season coming out. We already had Tegan and Sarah and Mars Volta,
Dum Dum Girls,
Les Butcherettes, all these great bands. And then this time around, we have Henry Rollins and Fleetwood Mac. Sorry, Chili Pepper Red Hots. It's a cover band. It's all
Thai chili peppers.
Utensils, buckets and mobs. And then, you know, so now we're going to have Eagles of Death Metal and Jack Black is on it. It's really, really exciting. And it must be so weird for them. Must be so bizarre to try and talk to. And my whole thing is I don't know anything about music. I mean, I don't know any bands. I don't have very good taste in music.
What are your top three bands?
That I like?
Yeah.
Probably right now it would be White Panda. And I don't know. I'm really into... You know, I listen to a lot of trance stuff. It's weird stuff like that.
Don't feel bad for White Panda. They're like, "Well, he said we were his favorite band, but then he qualified it by saying he has terrible taste in music."
They're like, "The guy shouted us out, and then he just took a shit on us."
So you listen to trance like you're one of those guys that drives down Sunset Boulevard blaring some trance music?
Blaring trance. Always in a
windows
white
down.
He's one
windows
of the shots
Peter
of
with
Sunset.
A visor on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I'm wearing Oakleys, but, you know, in the back.
I saw that once at like 8:30 in the morning. I was like, man, all day.
Yeah, all day. And also, but I just listen to it because it sort of keeps me moving. I don't know. It's like background noise more than it's like, I do. I mean, I'll pop and lock in the car.
Sure.
You know, often I don't lock. I just pop. And
you
then
just
let
pop.
It keep
if you
going.
Lock in the car, you just go right into a fucking
wall.
Well,
the parking brake, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on what you're popping.
You should get ABS in your car so you don't have to worry about it. Locking
that's
up on you.
The pop and lock move is the ABS.
It just slows down. Yeah. It doesn't come to an abrupt halt.
Still just as scary, though.
Yeah. Mashup was really fun, by the way.
Oh, it was great. You were so great on it.
I had a great time.
It was fine. You were really good, too.
But the show looked great, and the intro is one of my favorite intros of a show I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, visually, it ended up being really good, and, you know, it was also... you know, amazing to have on all.
Are you doing more of those?
Like my friends, we don't know yet. You know, Comedy Central is kind of talking about it. I think you know I'm kind of done working with that director, and so I'm ready to sort of maybe move on to the next thing. Today, this is amazing. I just found out officially that I'm going to be in Mike Judge's HBO pilot.
Oh, shit.
Congrats, man.
With Thomas Middleditch, and Kumail is also
Holy shit.
Like, wrote a part for Kumail. I don't know. I don't know if that's official yet, but it will be.
That's a good cast right
soon
there.
Enough. Yeah, it's amazing.
Hilarious. Yeah.
I'm super excited. Kumail's fine.
Yeah.
No, but it was so cool on Mashup to have like peers and friends.
Yeah.
Who, you know, not Kumail obviously, but I'm thinking about just, you know, Mashup.
Poor Kumail.
You guys,
he's doing fine.
Uh-oh. Rare.
I've told you several times. No, he's the best. You know, Mashup was just crazy to Sean Flannery, who's an amazing comic out of Chicago. CJ Sullivan, amazing comic out of Chicago. To be able to get those guys their first TV credit when they should have had one long ago was really, like, that's a lifelong dream to be able to bring, you know, people that you think are hilarious on television.
Sure.
On your show. It seemed like a bizarre dream. More of a nightmare, but it was... I woke up in a cold sweat at the end of the whole
experience. It's almost like producing a podcast for someone that you... You really like?
Yeah.
You think should do a
cashing in with TJ Miller?
Way bigger scale. Like a real like a thing where
within the world, you know, of
I think Cash's podcast is, you know, more of a dream than Mashup for me to be on his podcast. The number of times that I've been on it. I mean, I've been on it almost every single time.
Wow,
it's pretty amazing.
An amazing record.
Now, I bet I've done it more than any other guest.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, I'd have to check the wiki on that.
You can check the wiki, but I keep deleting it.
I think it's really amazing that that other people would come on a show called Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Yeah, people are up for it. You know, the name has nothing to do with
my name
or anything.
It's just a name.
It's actually an acronym for something that he'll tell you about.
Yeah. If we had a few minutes, we could think of a really good acronym.
No, yeah. It's true. Yeah. We need longer than a few minutes, I feel like, for a really good acronym.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the podcasting, it's interesting. You know, Gorberger, the nicest thing anybody wrote about it, because most people were like, what is this and why would you do it?
It is a comedy show, and this is a comedy website. Yeah. Fuck nuts.
Yeah. It feels like a compliment to me. What is this and why
would
you
do that? I'd rather have that than this is boring, I've seen it before or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somebody said this is sort of the... actually, Carson Daly, who went on also, he also came on the show because he's a fan of it. He was like, it's the future of music journalism. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, it's all over. Everything is sort of fluffing people and promoting stuff for people. And there's no interviews that are just interviews, much less interviews with somebody that knows nothing about it, but is still so excited about it. Because, you know, Between Two Ferns, which is much funnier than Gorberger, but it's kind of an anti-talk show in the sense that he just doesn't care about these people and, you know, kind of talks down to them and condescends them. And usually is trying to sell speed stick or whatever.
Yeah.
And Gorberger is more this, it's just an alien monster who doesn't know anything about American culture. He knows some stuff, but it's always really weird. And then he's sort of asking him about whatever. And it's more interesting to see them interact with this giant puppet in this Japanese morning show format. And you kind of get a sense of bands, and some of them, like this band Fool's Gold, hated it, was really difficult in the interview, so boring, not into it, really, like, and were mean to the puppet, which is always weird, because they're like, you're trying to be mean to me through the puppet, because you think I'm being mean to you through this. It's like having a divorce,
it's a
but the kid
happened.
The kid is...
So they didn't get it.
They didn't get it. And then other... You know, most everybody else totally gets it, and you get to see a different side of them. You know, you get to see Tegan and Sarah, who I didn't know anything about beforehand, obviously, but even hearing their music and stuff, you wouldn't believe that they're really funny, and they're kind of like, we're with it and into it. So that's an interesting thing of that. Just like podcast, I think, is eating radio because it's so different from anything that's out there just because anyone can do it.
Sure, and it's pure, too. We're not beholden to any advertisers except for stamps.com. This is stamps.com/WTF.
Wait a minute.
What happened?
The
Mark.
The
Chris takes off his face.
Yeah, TJ, it's really great. You got another fucking show you want to promote in here. I haven't smoked a cigarette in years. I'm going out of my fucking mind over here.
I still use Nicorette. Is that bad?
Yeah, wait. You go on a Hardwick's podcast over there? Yeah, that's cute. What he's doing over there is cute. Adorable is the word I would have for that.
Of course, I listen to it whenever I hear that I was mentioned in it.
Like, whatever.
I have an IV with the app mentioned.
I mean, if you're into that, it's fine.
That was a pretty Nerdist slam. I went on his show. Have you been on his show?
It's great. Yeah, it's fun.
He's a much happier fellow.
He should be. Things are going very well for him.
Amazing for
I love
he has WTF. That show.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I heard good things about the show.
I haven't heard anything about the show, but I'm excited for him. I'm just excited for him. I always like when people are happy. That's all I care about. If you're happy.
And you know it.
Clap, whatever.
Doesn't have to be your hands. Slap your dick up to your
clap
leg.
The thighs.
Slap your testicles against one another while keeping this.
Oh, like one of those. Like one of those office. The office ball game.
I bet that actually my balls are cubes. I didn't know this until a little while ago. I thought I had a lump, but it turned out I had six.
Oh,
it's a six-sided.
It's a six-sided die.
You know, imagine those fuzzy dice that hang from the rearview mirrors.
Yes.
Imagine that, but it's the way that I have children.
How so?
They're very fuzzy, and that's the thing in my car that gets women in the back seat. I'm in a smart car, though.
Yeah.
So we're just wedged up above the headrest.
I think fuzzy dice in a smart car are really funny.
Yeah.
And then you should also put the Yosemite Sam mud flaps in the back of your smart car.
Are they smaller, though? Are the fuzzy dice in a smart car just a little
Everything's
smaller?
A little smaller. Yeah. And it's eco-friendly. They're, like, made out of recycled material.
Yeah.
And the
Yosemite Sam is saying, please respect my space.
He can only hold
please respect my personal
only
space.
Only one gun fits and it's his back.
Yeah.
Please respect my space. And if you don't mind, the mud flap just continues. It's very long.
They just trail behind.
Yeah.
From when you're off roading in your smart car,
which is just going on gravel.
Yeah, that's it. That's going into a driveway.
You're on gravel, you're
oh my God, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. While you're pumping your trance music.
Yeah.
So, enough about work for a second. Let's talk about TJ Miller. What are you into lately? What is capturing your attention?
Well, I'm always sometimes thinking about...
Always sometimes?
Sometimes I'm thinking about the singularity most of the time. I like that.
You brought that up last time.
We did, yeah. We talked about that last time. What I'm into lately is I'm into... time management, I guess, is an interesting thing for me, like where I put time towards stuff. Another thing I'm really into right now, not listening to music in the car, just driving and having silence and then using that time to sort of think about, like, maybe I should be doing more of this. Maybe I should be spending more time with my house husband, tenants.
Yep.
You know?
Years ago, Louis C.K. said that Chris Rock taught him, don't listen to music in the car on the way to shows. You should be thinking about your set.
Yep.
And I think then you also appreciate listening to music as it's sort of a treat. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to music and not think for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good. But I'm certainly at a point, you know, in my life where I just had been living like a stressed out guy for probably 7 years or something. You know, just as a guy who always had someplace to go, always the second. I mean, I'm still in that space to a certain extent. As soon as we're done with this recording, I'm running to go talk about Gorberger stuff and then trying to get home, though. The new thing that I'm doing is trying to get home to, like, spend time in the relationship or spend time relaxing.
So you're talking about fostering a what do they call it, man?
Personal life.
Personal life. That's
personal
what I was trying
life.
To think of. Yeah.
I always, you know, for a long time, I thought it was pronounced personal.
No.
Life.
Is it? Let me ask you this.
Personal life.
Now, your personal life, can you turn that into a web video show?
I am. I've already tried. I'm pitching it. Crack.com bought it, but then it turned out it was Crackle. I got the URL completely wrong.
But I know that is a thing that you kind of got to remember, just like, it's like when you get, cause you know, you're moving in with your lady and you have to remember to put time into that as well, or energy at least to
And I'm big on also not being too hard on myself. All you guys are always like balancing stuff. So, you know, this is not a new subject, but I'm into the idea of, like, you know, we were talking about it outside, but just the idea that for all of our lives we've been focusing on, think about how long you've been doing comedy and working towards a career. Think about how long you've been sort of dealing with your family relationships, whether those be negative or positive, And think about how long you've been sort of getting confident or okay with yourself. It's been years. It's a decade of working on comedy, you know, family life since you've, you know, been a young kid. You've been working on being a better friend. You've been learning that since you were in sixth grade, being like, why don't I have a best friend, you know, yeah, whatever it was. And your relationship, a primary relationship, and one of my therapists was talking about this, is you don't have as much practice with that. So you have to put more energy into that, and you're playing catch up, sort of getting good at being a boyfriend or a partner or a husband or, you know, a wagoneer, you know.
Sure.
I'll tell you.
Wagoneer.
One time, and it's interesting. It's interesting you say that. One thing that, you know, something that happens with Chloe and I is that we'll sort of get into bed tonight and just flip the laptops open, and then we're both sort of in our own zones, just tick, 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 tick. You know, she's looking at stuff and I'm looking at stuff, and we're not really communicating. And the other night, she was cleaning up a room, and I didn't, my laptop was charging.
The one reason I
Well, unfortunately, you know, I'm sorry. I can't take credit. I can't really take credit like it was my idea.
Right.
So, but my laptop was unavailable, and so I was kind of hanging out. I was just lying in her bed, sitting in her bed, and she was cleaning up, and we talked.
How was your day?
Was it just terrible?
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Like, it was really nice. It was like, oh yeah, this is what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And we had a really nice night that way. So I thoroughly recommend it. It's so easy to just isolate yourself and be like, just have your face in your machine. It's like we're connected, but we're not connected. Like, I mean, as people, we're connected to the web. We're connected, but we're not humanly connected to people. And that's very important.
And I think technology, at least I've been thinking about, I think about a lot of things in terms of addiction, but technology can kind of be an addiction. It's like a drug. It's an escape thing. Same way video games can kind of be something that you disappear into and don't come back out of. And I do wonder, it's, you know, I've been thinking, because I've been reading a lot of evolutionary psychology, and it's, that's very much about, there are biological reasons for our behavior, and those are the result of evolution. And you kind of have to take those into account and see how different it is to be this hunter-gatherer animal that is in a social animal that is now in this modern society that isn't really anything like what we were built to do. And so I think we have a real serious need to be social. That's why Twitter and Facebook and all these things have become such a big part of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we're sort of addicted to being social in a way that nobody is talking about, but maybe we should. I'm addicted to sending texts back as soon as I get them, to texting people when I think of them, to emailing someone as soon as I think about asking them a question. And so much of this stuff, even Twitter, you know, most people on Twitter aren't even really saying anything. But why do we need to do that? Why is it so important to tell people what's going on and hear what's going on with them? Because I think we're just, at the very, very heart of it, just social animals. That was so beneficial to our survival.
We're social.
It shows that you're there.
We're social, but we also...
That's true, too.
We're social, but we also need... It's an interesting catch-22 in the sense that I think we're not evolved to have to deal with the amount of information that we have to deal with.
I agree with that.
Because that just happened very fast.
Yeah.
And so as a result of all the information that we have to process... We're subconsciously stressed all the time because we always feel like we're behind. And so the way that we deal with that is using the information that we can't process to distract ourselves from having to deal with the fact that we're trying to process too much information.
Well, and I think that's a great thing. It's like people aren't talking about that, and it's really true. You know, I started talking to somebody the other day about how I said, you know, my girlfriend is a pretty anxious person. She has a, you know, there's an anxiety threshold there that is crossed because she's living in a constant state of some anxiety.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, oh, yeah, no, mine too. And I was like, most girls that I, you know, have been out with have sort of been in that space. And he's like, most people that I know are like that. He's like, you know, in Los Angeles especially, everybody's taking a Xanax. Everybody's saying like, oh, I'm very anxious. People have panic attacks a lot. Where is that coming from? I think, you know, it's exactly what you're saying, which is we have too much information. There's advertising is constantly, everything's vying for our attention. We only have so much space. We only have so much RAM, you know?
Yeah.
And so once that gets taken up, and I think you're constantly stressed. Think how many things we have to think about that don't matter at all. Where are my keys? What did I have? Have I worn this jacket too many times. This chair. Now, this chair is like other chairs, so I know that the handle is down here. But is this one that goes up or goes down? Okay, it does. Is this going to be high enough? What kind of microphone is this? Is this a microphone that should be the straight up kind, or is it the one? The ones that are down are mostly not for radio shows. It's got to be. That's. It could go on and on and on forever. I mean, the amount of things that you're thinking about is just a constant stream. And so, yeah, I think we have a higher, just general baseline of anxiety. And then people are more likely to go over it. And it creates this weird, tension and stress.
Well, we're also not really designed to multitask. Like, your design, I feel like our brains really are supposed to focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And so there's basically just this cue that just builds up in crowds of just like all the things that have to go through that one focal point that you can deal with at a time. I mean, you can try to juggle, but you know, you're still.
This is making me anxious all this time. I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding.
I mean, it's so real. My psychiatrist says that, you know, one of the reasons that I sort of can do so much is that I'm sort of welcoming to a manic type of thinking, and instead of getting overwhelmed by multitasking, it sort of occupies my mind, and I find it sometimes calming.
Yeah.
And that was just a very interesting thing that I had never thought about, that, you know, that it could be your biology that makes you want to multitask more than other people who just sort of say, like, I like to just sit and read my book and have the book. And then I, like, when I go to work, I always listen to the same.
I have to do that at night. I have to read. I have to, like, read for, like, an hour in bed, just because that's the only way to stop my brain from thinking about everything else.
Yeah, I have to listen to.
I need to do something. I need to read.
I have to listen to a movie. Fleetwood Mac. I have to listen to like a movie that I've seen a million times to like go to bed, because like I can just follow along with the movie and my brain will just mimic the imagery that I know I would be seeing if I was actually watching it. Yeah. But I can have my eyes closed with my head on a pillow and I can just drift off to sleep. If I don't, I'll be up for another 3 hours just kind of running through different shit.
And then, you know, whereas, you know, Cheryl just kind of always wants to have a movie on and is always complaining about insomnia. And then what you find out is that if you turn off the movie and all the lights are off and all that stuff, it's much easier for her to go to sleep. So some people are complaining about insomnia, taking a drug for it, when really what they need to do is just slow down and shut down their brain. And that's why I think we're going to continue to be a drug culture, is we've created so many problems for ourselves and we want to fix them quickly. And so, you know, I think that's, it could be an underlying, you know, there are a lot of reasons for drug use, but, you know, especially prescription drug use, where people are just like, you know, I'm bipolar, I'm all these problems that we have that we're treating medically now. I don't think those were around as much, or there wasn't the proliferation of them that there is now 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
Well, I think people still had problems. They just didn't.
They didn't know how to diagnose.
They didn't
them.
Know what they were. They didn't know how to deal with it. It was
to
just
be sure. There was some of that also. But
there's no question that you know, we're such a labeling culture now. It's like what's that thing over there? Okay, that's that thing. You know, because we're trying to categorize and process so much information that we need to, you know, like everything's got to have a name. Everything's got to have a place.
There's also so many other different little things that can go wrong now. Like my grandfather never had to go fuck. There's a huge typo in that tweet. I got to delete that tweet.
I need to pay my. I have 3 different credit cards because I get rewards on the gas. And I was late on that one. I should shift the balance. It's just, there's so many things.
Reward points are great, though.
They really are. Right. And they're very important.
I'll tell you why they are.
I don't have any.
Just got.
You don't have any reward points?
Two sweet airline tickets just with rewards points.
I went to Japan business class with all the miles reward point stuff I had with American.
They actually give you a soapy hand job up in that
Which
class.
Which really stings the urethra. You know, a lot of people think it's a good.
Well, you know, people who are really good at it just know to go around the tip.
No, you just, it's good.
The guy that
clean
was doing
it up
mine
in there
had no idea what he was
doing. Oh, okay. Yeah. He just basically just took the tip of the hand soap and then just like he thought it was a slot to like shove it in and then just squeeze it.
I was just about to say, like,
that would really be awful.
That would be
beyond.
That would
not. That would be probably one of the worst things you could possibly.
It would be the opposite of coming if it's just going right back.
It would be going.
Whatever the opposite of that feeling is.
It's just a more fresh and clean gonorrhea.
So fresh and so clean.
Yeah, but I think that all this stuff
I've got gonorrhea and I'm just so fresh and so fresh and so clean. Sting,
just
sting.
Out, just very, the quietest outcast.
The international. Bombs over Baghdad. Bombs over Baghdad.
Andre 300.
Yeah. Take it down.
Take it down, Andre.
I don't know. I think that it creates a lot of problems for us. And I don't know really what the answer is. You're right. We have so much more stuff. It's like technology has allowed us. That's what I've been thinking too, is how disposable everything is.
Yeah.
And like the other day I was drinking from a cup and I was like, I have 30 cups. A person used to just have having a cup or a piece of pottery to keep your water and
yes,
food in.
I had the same
this
thought.
This important thing that you kept with these cowboys would keep their yes. sort of they had one
they're like tin coffee
cup. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing, I opened up my cabinet and I'm looking at all the coffee mugs and I'm like, there's two people in this apartment. Why do we need 70 yeah. coffee mugs?
Well, I like getting too. Coffee mugs from where I travel. Like that's I like to bring me back too. Coffee
yeah.
mugs
yeah,
from.
Yeah, I know, but we don't need it. That's the thing.
Well, no, but we don't really need 90% of the things we have. We don't need them.
Well, that's the thing. Is, so there's stores like the Container Store, which yeah. are just to help us
get rid of stuff we don't need.
No, have more stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, you know, you do that. You have so many glasses because you're like, well, you know, I don't want to wash it right away. But if you took the time, because everyone feels like they're in such a rush.
Yeah, if you take the 4 seconds.
I don't have
seconds.
Time to make food and then clean it. Then you just like, but if you did, you just clean right after you yep. ate, yep. you would have it be
it's
ready
so
for
easy.
The next
downsize,
time.
Downsize, baby!
It's so yeah, it's do, right? it's best. I try to find, I find myself trying to like simplify like a lot of things. But like the amount of apps on my phone. And you yep. know, that's like, it's yep. a silly thing
Me
to say.
Me too. That's why I just bought a bigger house.
But like it's a silly thing to say, but like, you know, but opening up my phone and just having just the stuff I need there. And then like, you know, and just like looking at my house or like a room or somewhere that's like, what is unneeded in here?
Yeah.
What's like frivolous about this thing? Like, yeah. you know, I don't need this stuff.
I've been thinking about that with behavior too. Like you don't need to open your email as soon as you plug in. Like I open my email immediately and I respond to emails immediately. And I've tried to be like, do I need to respond to this person right now or can I wait for a little bit, you know, instead of feeling like it's just a knee-jerk response so yeah. often. And that's a good point, too. I mean, you have this more than any of us.
Lean forward.
You have this mm-hmm. more than any of us, which is the...
No, that's the opposite of forward.
Great point, TJ. That was amazing.
You know, this time, like you're always late to something or everything has to be exact. When something runs over, it affects something yep. else. And that is such a, that then you live your whole day in a state of stress and trying to think about how do I get this to, okay, if I can't be there for this, then we have to cancel that. When are we going to reschedule that? It's just, and for whatever reason, I'm a guy who feels like I can do all of it. I just don't, I never feel like I need to say no because I rarely am like, okay, this is overwhelming. And when I am in that state, it is terrible. It's so sure. overwhelming that I'm stopping the car and biting the steering wheel, being like, ah!
I have an opposite thing where I have this fear of like, I'll look at my schedule and I'll be like, well, that thing is going to take 80 hours to do. So I can't schedule anything else. Like, it's like, my friend will be like, let's go get lunch. I was like, well, it's like, we're going to get lunch at noon, but I have something to do at 5. I'm not going to make both. Like, I have a feeling that everything's going to take too long. And I say no more than I should.
I called the doc. I make an appointment for a physical today. And, the doctor's like, okay, I can get you in tomorrow. I was like, I can't. I'm flying somewhere. And then he's like, okay, how about this day? February 14th.
Oh, happy Valentine's
is
Day.
When my doctor's appointment is.
Are you guys going to get dinner?
Like fucking 2.5 weeks. Guys, the doctor and I are going to fuck. Yeah. I'm bringing him roses. And an edible arrangement.
The waiting room, you know what yeah. I'm talking about?
But what you were saying before earlier about like trying not to answer stuff right away. I have a feeling that if I read it and I don't answer right away, I'll just forget about it.
Which is exactly what
gonna,
I do.
It's just going to get pushed down. Yep.
But how awful is that, too, that then we have apps and things that are reminders, and I have like 4 iPhone alarms set, and I'm constantly... That's how much stuff I'm doing is I have to employ technology to remind us. And the more technology we have and the easier it is for, say, Siri, move this to this point, see if I can... The more humans are going to want to do. They're just... That's we have this innate drive in us to just do more, get more, make more. Because yeah. there was such a scarcity and a paucity for so long in the history of human beings, and now it's an abundance that's almost
crushing us sometimes, I feel like.
Everybody I know feels like they're not doing enough with their lives in general. They always feel like it's like, well, you seem pretty busy. No, I could be doing more. It's like everyone feels that they're not doing enough.
But you also, we also surround ourselves with a very specific type of personality. All of our friends are, almost all of our friends are writers, performers, artists.
Yeah.
We live in the city that we live in. You know, I don't know if it's like that everywhere. It might be, but I don't know if it's like that everywhere. It's just, we are, you know, what seems like the world to us could just be our little bubble of, you know, our artist, creator, performer friends.
My family, though, is in Kansas. I have some family in Kansas that is very, you know, church on Sunday. Every day is just trying. There's a lot of resting. They take time to rest. They're like, yeah, I think actually from 4 to 5, Greg and I are going to rest. It's very strange to me. But I think they have similar crises, but they're just about different things, you know. Then they're worried that, you know, they're spending all their time thinking like, oh, the world is going to hell in a handbasket and Obama's ruining everything. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, we won't. Be, my uncle owns the Wendy's in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And, you know, he sort of is constantly worried about gas prices and what is it going to be for this thing. And, you know, it's just they're not on email all the time, but instead it's something else.
They have
where
to
they're
bury
spending,
money because they're afraid the banks are going to fail.
Yeah, or they're spending hours and hours trying to find a movie that isn't R-rated and is still in black and white that they haven't seen. That's really something. They're like, if you have any ideas for good new movies, please let us know. I don't know. I mean, I think it's just different. And also, they're watching television. They're still seeing the same advertisements. So they're still being told, what you have is not good enough. You should get something better. You should do this thing. Or, you know, they're in this state of like, you know, they're totally, their life is so encompassed by the Catholic Church that it's a lot of that. It's sort of guilt. Am I doing this correctly? No. Have I repented for this? Am I paying enough attention to religion? Everybody's sort of filling every corner and moment of their lives, I think.
Because, you know, well, at least
I always think that I just want to not be doing anything. Like, I think that, you know what, I just want a fucking, I want a day off.
And then when you
when
do.
When I get it, it's just like I don't understand what to do with myself.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is that I think is that, you know, we're creatures of momentum. And so I think that's how some people, you go, how can you just sit on the couch every day for months on end? Like, that's momentum. Like, that's the momentum that they have set up. And it's hard for them to create, you know, like to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're used to going, it takes way more than a day to slow down because it's sort of like, stopping for a day is just like if you were driving on the freeway and you just hit the brakes and like everything in the back of the car would fly to the front. It's like it's like the momentum of your life is just like hits you when you try to stop and you need to several days.
We are a
days.
Group of people in this room, I think, that will say that when we get sick and have to shut down for 2 days, we're kind of like, that was all right. I didn't mind vomiting everywhere because I was shut
catch
down.
Catch up on some TV.
Yeah, I'm like, that was okay. Thanks for making me vomit.
Usually I still have to work when I'm sick.
Yeah, I kind of either don't get sick or I just go, okay, I'm going to get...
Well, you're both better than me and Jonah.
No.
That's fine.
I think it is a...
But then my brain is also like, how far out am I worrying? Like, I'm worrying, like, I'm not worrying about something that's tomorrow. I'm worrying about something that's 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 5 months from now. I'm like, oh, what happens in April? What happens? And it just becomes this thing. I called Chris like last week to go like, how the fuck do you do this?
Well, you have to compartmentalize. Unfortunately, you have to. I think what book did I read?
I think the Nerdist way.
Well, no, in my sort of early search for answers and like reading a lot of self-help books and listening to a lot of tapes and just trying to figure out like, you know, somewhere out there, people have some answers that I don't have. And yeah. I think maybe it was like a Dale Carnegie book or something where he said, well, you have to live in day tight compartments where you just deal with whatever you can deal with in that moment on that day. It is the enjoy your burrito model.
Yeah.
And then you can't, you know, what was I saying? I was saying, learn from the past, plan for the future and live in the present. So you have to try not to, you take on too much of the past and the present at once, because you can't. You'll fucking go crazy if you try to take it all on. You will go crazy.
Woody Allen was talking about, I just watched his documentary on Netflix. One. Amazing. Yeah. And he mentioned compartmentalizing everything. He's really, really good at that.
Oh, they know when everyone says that's what he did.
Yeah. He's really good at doing this. He's really good at
compartmentalizing. And Woody's always good at compartmentalizing. You know what he's great at? Just compartmentalizing. Yeah.
And that Eckhart Tolle book, The Power of Now, which is couldn't be a more new agey title for a book that kind of has actually got some good things to say. It's about that. It's like the time that you spend worrying about the future is sort of wasted because it hasn't arrived yet and it's not really guaranteed.
And it's keeping you away from dealing with the present.
And then if you live in the past, if you're sort of considering regret and you can't do this, and you know, I was talking to somebody recently, they're like, if I just got on that part, I know that it's going to do well. That show is going to get picked up. It's going to run for 8 seasons. And I just, and it's like, A, you don't know that. All those future hypotheses are not guaranteed and probably won't even happen statistically. And then thinking about the past and taking time from your life that's happening right now to sort of regret the past, it doesn't regret is totally useless.
Yeah.
Sort of learning from an analyzation and kind of extrapolating what you can from something, that's totally useful. And, but it's really hard to do that because we're in these prisons of our memories and we're always thinking that if we'd done this, it's so sad that we can understand cause and effect because it, you know, although it's made us the most successful species, we also just, you know, are constantly thinking like, well, if I had done this and this, you're connecting the dots because you can. And, you know, what do they say? Cash Levy loves to say this, that there's no happiness over $100,000. Any more money that you make over that doesn't affect you being happier. And then also the middle class is the happiest class for the most part across the board because they're sort of living month to month. You're living paycheck to paycheck. And that's what it was in the early days. You were just trying to survive. You get the food, you eat it, and then go find more food.
So like the Neanderthal middle class.
Exactly. No, because they're stupid. It's the Homo sapien.
And then the sapiens try to fucking tax.
I call them the sapes.
The sapes try to tax the middle class into the fucking Stone Age, literally.
Is the Neanderthal Homo sapien the one true race war?
There was an article in, I don't know, it was a British news site, but the scientist is like, I can create a Neanderthal. I just need a woman who's willing to carry a Neanderthal and birth it. But I think it'd be really, we don't have like, I mean, yes, chimpanzees, like, you know, we're 99% of our chromosomes are the same, but, or thereabouts, but I wouldn't really consider it a true cousin species. Like they still seem like animals, but to have, like if there were Neanderthal, or Neanderthal, if you're being,
with Neanderthal.
If you like,
those are also Neanderthals above 6 foot.
But the idea of like if we had like an actual cousin speaking Neanderthal, no, it's good, it's fine.
Sorry, Mr. Jackson.
If we had like an actual cousin species that we had to deal with.
It would be very weird. I feel like most people would try and enslave them.
Yeah, like the French.
In
yeah.
Most parts of the world, the French.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. You just sometimes it's funny just to go
people.
The French.
Yeah, we just it's so weird to me that Francophile is even a thing. I mean, I don't know what the cloning thing is getting pretty crazy. I mean, now we're right back to the singularity, but the cloning thing and the being able to use gene therapy and all the stuff that's right around the corner, because medical advances will happen ahead of they'll sort of the medical industry will lead. You know, consumer industry is right behind it. Just like cell phones, people love them so much, and that's why they're so rapidly advancing. But people need medicine, you know, and we always want to figure out a way to make ourselves live longer. And that's going to get pretty weird. I mean, cloning a Neanderthal, you know, is weird. But how weird will it be when you're able to clone yourself and then download your memory up to that point into a new body.
Yeah.
That's real weird.
Well, you just put your brain in the cloud. And then when you get a new device, you just download, restore. Listen, humans restoring from backup is a fucking great idea.
It's an amazing thing. But then what will happen with population control? It's going to get
You know, I got to be honest.
Pretty weird in the next 30 years.
Maybe, you know? But there's a lot of room in the Midwest. If you drive across this country, you realize how much there is not.
Yeah, but if we even took like 1/100th of India's population,
yeah,
it would just Montana would just be crawling with people.
Yes, well, of course.
No, you're right. There's more room land wise, and you know, as cities prove, you can just build up. But I think it's more about them consuming all the resources. But also, by the time we really are consuming all our resources, we'll have invented a way to
travel to the stars. Make,
well, yeah.
Go to eat air.
Yeah, exactly. Or take a pill that will do everything.
Or we'll have finally defeated the mole people and live underground.
We could.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. Fucking I mole always people. Like basement clubs for
people. Taking our underground
basement trance clubs.
Ooh, I love those basement trance clubs to perform in. yeah, I don't know. So I'm excited about that though. I'm interested. I want to live as long as I can just to see as much of stuff's gonna get so weird in like
a lot faster than
2025 or 2030. It's gonna be so weird.
It's just like the Steely Dan song, you guys.
What a beautiful world.
Yeah. What a beautiful world. It's like you're in Chris Hardwick.
What
sings
a glorious time to be.
You, well,
then you would love being on this podcast.
On
all
that
the time.
Train of grass, fat, and glitter. Under the vibrant.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes it's not even.
90 words. Minutes from New York.
Is it still
Paris.
Steely Dan? Sounds more like
Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
Everything becomes Michael McDonald after a while because he's the most fun to sing.
Every time you leave, every time I see your smile.
I have to sing that this weekend at Sketchfest.
Oh, yeah?
Are you guys going out there?
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's fun.
Fun times.
I wish I could go. I can't, though.
You can.
No, I have to go to the container store and get containers for all
your
the containers that I bought. Yeah.
The containers are piling up everywhere.
I think you need to buy a container to contain your obsession with buying containers.
There is no container large enough.
A metaphysical container.
Yeah, oh, you need Key House from the Lock and Key comics. You need special keys that can control a lot of different things. You haven't read that. Okay,
nope.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it is a good reference if you know it.
Yeah.
What is it?
Lock and Key. It's like just good comic series written by a guy named Joe Hill.
I gotta see that.
Good, there it is. Oh, you got it right there.
It's in his bag.
Kyle has it.
We can look at it right now.
It's
Jonah's
great.
Jonah looked at it before he decided
Lock and Key
or not
is fun.
To touch
it. I just want to make sure it wasn't dirty. I don't know how good it is.
I don't like these dirty comics.
Yeah.
Are you love comics? You're really into comics?
I like comics. I'm not an insane comic person. Like, I don't read everything. I do find stuff that I like.
I want
and then
to
I
one
it.
Day write a comic. I'm available. Marvel or DC. Let me know.
That's how
Some,
it works.
Someone
Just
has
ask
asked me.
You shall receive.
Someone has asked me to write a comic for a popular franchise, and I don't. I'm actually a little
She's
afraid
scared.
To take it on because
I told
you don't
you,
know.
I
you don't
told,
know Dagwood that well.
I told
like
you.
I
know he likes sandwiches.
I told you I would ghostwrite it for you.
I know he likes sandwiches, and I know he has a much
That's
prettier wife than he should have.
Jughead jokes. chamber. What do you guys?
No one talks about the crown he wears. How come no one talks about the crown?
Everybody needs to see it.
He fucking punched out the last dude that mentioned the crown.
What are you doing that brings you the most pleasure or happiness right now? What single thing?
Orgasms.
Doing it, yeah. Mm. Oh darn it, you got there first.
I know. I didn't know who was gonna make it first. What do I do that's enjoyable? Well, I enjoy spending time with Chloe. Like, it's nice when she can travel with me.
That's really fun.
That's really fun. I'm busy to the point where I appreciate. Like, I got super excited yesterday because I had an hour and a half off. And in the middle of the day, and I knew that I was going to fill that time with going to the counter across the street. I'm not a vegetarian, but I occasionally like, oh, I'll just have a vegetarian. They have a fucking great veggie burger.
Good veggie burger.
And I knew that I was going to, I was looking forward to that. And so I really enjoyed that hour and a half in the middle of the day where I didn't have to be anywhere.
Taking time. That's my New Year's resolution is like more time for friends, more time for the primary relationship, more time for myself, more time like pursuing other things that I always talk about, like DJing trance dance.
In the basement.
I like it down there.
Mm.
stray cats all over the place.
Basement of this trans club.
taking more time, right? I mean, it's fun to take time and just enjoy something. Enjoy your burrito, right?
Forget. I got a lot of tension. I find myself doing that more this year too. Is just I've gotten back into taking an afternoon on a weekend and going to a couple record stores and just kind of going through these records and like. It's so nice and relaxing. And then I'll go with Neil Mahoney and then we'll go back to his place and we'll just sit around looking at the inserts of the records,
going
listening to
the
music.
Record store again.
It's nice. It's a nice activity. And it feels weird because it is still kind of consumerism and it still is collecting, which is,
But
kinda,
you're bonding with your friend.
You're enjoying it.
Yeah.
You're not binge consuming just to consume.
No.
Yeah.
Going to a coffee shop just to kind of sit outside and have a drink and just kind of not look at your phone. Just
kind
of watch.
Something about the coffee experience when you say it's for here and they give you a real cup.
Yeah. And you sit down and you're just kind of
way more relaxing.
Yeah. And you're just there to enjoy it.
Sometimes it's tough to find those moments where, at least for me, where I'm not sitting and enjoying, this movie or something where my mind isn't okay, so after this, gotta go.
I can't do it.
Do you know what, though? Do you know when I would have the worst anxiety? Is just sitting alone with nothing to do. And then everything just comes flooding in.
That's when,
That's when you kind of. That's why sometimes you really need a couple of days to it's almost like, here we go. How about this term? It's almost like an information detox, a data detox, where you need a couple of days to I'm having withdrawal. I have to slow, change gears, And then
I stopped last year. I stopped taking my laptop with me when I travel.
Yeah,
nice.
I can't do that.
That's an interesting one.
That's way to go about it.
Pornography? If I need to, I can.
HTML5, buddy.
Yeah, sure. I don't need pornography. It's all up here, buddy. It's mental. Wow. But I have the phone. If I need to get in touch with someone via email or something, I can use the phone.
Yeah, and another thing about that is not checking email for a day or something. You could put an auto response. It's I'm unavailable today.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you tomorrow as soon as I can. If something's a big deal, they can call, But it's feeling out of touch almost feels so foreign to everybody now. That you don't know what to do with yourself, and it's good. I've been trying Saturdays and Sundays to actually not interact with any business people that are sort of on a Monday through Friday schedule.
Well, it's important to get out of your house and taking it to the streets. Yeah.
That's Cash's favorite song.
Is it really?
He has a segment called "Taking It to the Tweets." He sings the Michael McDonald thing forever.
But TJ, do you? As a guy that's you work on a lot of stuff and you're always kind of gotten something kind of going on. Is that a scary feeling career wise for you to like miss a day or two of email?
I'm trying to understand that because it's not about that the fear is irrational and then also that it's okay. I think for a long time I felt a duty to do stand-up every night, not only because it was a compulsion, I loved doing it, but also because I felt like that was sort of, just like a soldier in training. You can't kind of skip out on any aspect of basic training. You wouldn't be able to be like, I'm going to take a couple of days off because I had a bad show. That Jerry Seinfeld thing of the construction.
He goes right back to work.
Yeah, you have a shitty day, you go right back to work. And it's taken me a while to understand that now I've worked so hard for what? To stay in that? I have to evolve somehow. And part of that is saying, okay, I worked that hard for 9 years to not have to do a show every night of the week. To be able to do just 2 shows in a week and still have it be okay and maybe even better because I spent more time preparing for that set.
Well, there also are diminishing returns where it's like, I forced myself to do this thing, and I was really not mentally there for it.
Yeah.
And so are you doing more damage than good by just doing it just to, I don't know. I mean, I think a young comic should get up as much as possible, for sure.
Right, but at a certain point, I mean, I'm all about quantity over quality. I leave them wanting less, but and so I do a lot of stuff. I just sort of... I try and be prolific about everything that I do, and hopefully it's the stuff that I release is good enough that people are still excited about it, or it's free, and so if you don't like it, then fuck off. You didn't pay for it. It's nothing. Doesn't hurt my feelings. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I worry about that sometimes. You know, oh, am I missing an opportunity? But then you have to sort of check yourself and be like, it's okay. It's okay to miss an opportunity, because everything doesn't have, you don't need everything, because there's no finish line. You don't win anything.
Yeah.
And so I also think, you know, I try to remind myself, and I've been reminding myself lately, that this isn't at all about me. Like, I had a weird experience where a girl came up after a show, like a young girl who had a bunch of her friends in the car. She came up and was like, can I have your autograph? And I remember walking away from that, being like, that is so weird. What a shift in reality. Is that going to happen more? What will I feel like when that isn't happening? All this stuff. And then I had to remind myself, like, what? Who gives a shit? This doesn't have anything to do with me. And I'm focusing on how it affects me. And it doesn't have anything. The point of all of this is that she's excited enough about the comedy that I'm doing to come and say, like, I'd like to just meet you and get your autograph because I like what you're doing so much. And that's the point of it. So,
well, you're a fan of stuff, though. Like, you're a fan of some of stuff.
Yeah, but I had the craziest experience. I did a table read for a play, a musical that Steve Martin is writing. And so I was in the room with Steve Martin, and he's my all-time icon.
Yeah, me too. I don't think I would have done well.
Unbelievable. And I didn't do as well as I wish I could. But, you know, and I went back down, and my agent was like, how was it? And I was like, great. And she's like, did you get a picture? And I was like, no, because I'm too... I don't know. I
you
would
can't.
Never...
Some of those people you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also, it was a work situation.
Yeah, but even I don't think he would have. Nobody asked, but I don't even think he would have been adverse to it. I just, as a fan of something, I kind of want to meet somebody and talk to them, and that's it, you know. And I don't know. It is a weird thing to me. And an autograph is different, but an autograph, and also more importantly, a picture. It's always weird to me that a person wants to take a picture of something. Although, something for practical living in the modern age, if you don't want to throw something away because it has sentimental value, take a picture of it.
Sure.
Let it take up that digital space. It's going to remind you the same way. It's not the tactility of it that's making you remember those sentiments.
What a fool believes.
But I do the same thing too. Like I was at a radio. I was doing morning radio in for Tacoma when I was over Seattle for Tacoma shows last weekend, and Kenny G was in the studio. And I was like, I got to take a picture with Kenny. Like, I need this moment.
Did you do it ironically?
I did not, because he was really nice and very funny.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird
Sultan
thing.
Of the soprano saxophone.
All I'm saying, TJ, circular is that breathing. You're someone's Kenny G.
I hope so. I hope somebody listens to my voice like, that is the smoothest comedy jazz that's ever come out of a man's mouth.
Just look at the hair. Yeah.
It is. We do.
So what's your ultimate solution now? Because you are.
I don't think he has an ultimate solution.
What is your unified field theory?
My unified field theory is to think about thinking, and then also to continue to sort of, you know, pursue that acceptance of the absurdity of all of it,
mm-hmm.
and to be okay with that, and then to sort of, you know, continue to strive for an altruistic, you know, outcome to your life, and that the things are productive for the greater good of other people rather than yourself. So yeah, I think to just strive to be less and less selfish in a society that pushes selfishness in your face, and that's how you should be every single day.
Yep.
But that it's okay. I just think not enough people understand that it's fine. It's okay. It's okay if you didn't do it right, or you... Too many people are judging themselves too much. I don't know where that really comes from.
Judging and comparing themselves to other people.
Yeah. And the judgment, I think, comes from morality had to be instilled by, you know, religious institutions for so long, because that was the only way, you know, they say, like, judge yourself. You shouldn't be... you know, you shouldn't be having sex with lots of people and you shouldn't be masturbating all the time because those were just thought to be things that were bad and that was how they kept everybody in line. Now there's that sort of an antiquated system, but, you know, too many people judge themselves so much. I don't know. I'm very hard on myself. I'm very quick to kind of be like, that was not... Sometimes I'll be hard on myself for doing something well and not being happy enough about it. How weird is that?
Well, you know? Yeah, it's the... It's sort of the guilt about the guilt about... Like, it starts to get real. It just, like, stacks on. It just stacks on top of each other.
Yeah, my girlfriend Cheryl said to me, she goes... You know, because sometimes I'll be pretty serious talking about comedy stuff. And she's like, God, you take yourself so seriously. And all you talk about is how no one should take themselves seriously. And I'm like, I know. Isn't it absurd? That's what I'm trying to say. Isn't it? I realize how ridiculous it is that I'm so serious about how no one should take anything seriously. That actually proves my point.
Well, we all have patterns for how we process information. And sometimes it's more about, I think it's more about our process than it is really about the thing that we're obsessing over. It's just, you know, if I weren't obsessing over this, it would probably be something else because that's just the way that we process information. That's the way that we've learned and the way that we've chosen to. And so a lot of times people do it without realizing it. But I think ultimately a lot of it is a choice. It's like we just figured out, this is how I should process information. And it's, you know, the overanalyzing and doing this and then the part where we beat ourselves up and then this, but it's just a pattern. Like, they're just patterns. We're basically...
They're habits.
We're machines of repeating patterns and shortcuts. We are, you know, we try to find
heuristics for
shortcuts. And so, you know, I think a lot of times the shortcuts and the patterns that we set up, we just forget that we can actually kind of go in and reprogram some of those. And that's the part where you're like, oh yeah, I guess I don't really have to feel that way. Or maybe I don't really feel that way anymore. I just didn't really stop to think about it. I was just sort of, I was just like, all the switches were on auto. Right.
I'm just used to feeling that way.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, evolution is much more interesting than stagnation always, and it's much more challenging, and I think that's why a lot of people don't want to do it. And so that's another thing I think is important, is, you know, make yourself feel uncomfortable by changing things or trying to do things that are completely different. There's so many books about how to not be bored, like to do like 100 fun tips for this or 100 things to be happy or whatever. And I think more than being bored, it's like, how do you improve? How do you try and improve yourself? You'll be less bored if you spend the time that you think, well, I should do something. What should I do? I'm so bored. It's like, well, then try, you know, saying something nice to every single person that you work with on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Well, you also can have a purpose.
And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, just step on their foot or just be like, you're as ugly as your own butt.
Well, that'll make the other days that much more valuable.
I told you that on Monday. It's Tuesday.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes...
Wait, what's the day? Oh, I'm sorry. You're great.
Sometimes it's important. I think sometimes you can, you know, like having a point or a purpose... I think can also fight a lot of that. So in other words, you know, if you say in a day, well, my purpose today is that whatever I do today, I just want it to be fun, or I just want, my purpose today is to make other people feel good. Like, even just giving yourself a little bit of direction will inform a lot of what you do, because you're basically operating within a little bit of a plan and a direction.
What about your special purpose?
I have a special purpose.
I feel like, yeah, I agree with that. And it's interesting that you compartmentalize it into a day, like your purpose for each day. And I'm always thinking, you know, and I want to think more like that a little bit and balance that with my thing, which is I'm always trying to look at the grander purpose of everything and what does this mean? I almost think big picture too much.
Sure.
And don't pay attention to the little pictures, you know, which are tiny pornographic Polaroids that I carry with me since I don't have my laptop when I'm on the road.
The little pictures are good.
The little teeny tiny pics.
It's like
those teeny tiny pictures.
It's like
that you gotta focus
those gradient pictures
Where
Team
it's someone's
Team Tiny Pits.
It's someone's face, but then when you zoom in, it's made up of thousands of their faces.
Little compartments of their tiny faces.
By the way, I'm not saying that I do that in a day. That's just something that someone could do.
No, I think so. And I also think, you know, you should be thinking, because so many people are, what is my purpose? What is my meaning? And, you know, my whole thing is that it's that you make your own meaning because it's meaningless. And that it's okay for that meaning to be anything. If that's to be the best UPS worker, I was talking with this friend of mine that works at reception in the building where I live, and you know she's just really good at what she does. She's really, really good at it, and that gives her a lot of purpose. And we were talking about that. It's like it can be that you're always prompt to every meeting, and you're the best. When you stock stuff at Walgreens, you're the best at it, and you're the quickest to notice when somebody needs help. It can usually, have you guys seen that documentary, Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
Yeah, that's a fucking great, that's a great documentary. Example.
I was in Japan for New Year's, and I ate at his son's restaurant.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, which people say is just as good.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, most people can find a lot of meaning in their work if they're just open to sort of glorifying it. Like, you should be glorifying what you do, not spending all your time saying, my job sucks, and what do I do, what am I doing, what's the good of any of it? It's tough. A lot of people are stuck in that habit, or that the momentum is in that direction. It's hard to reverse that, but yeah. People should spend more time trying to do that, and because everybody has a sort of a place, everybody's contributing, unless you're not contributing. In which case, fuck you, because the rest of us are.
Well, but the non-contributors shine the light on the people who are actually contributing, and it makes us appreciate them more.
Their contribution
is non-contribution. Yeah. Non-tribution.
See, guys, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, buddy.
Matt, you're still here.
For the non-tribution, yeah. What?
Oh, you see him too?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's tough, though, man. I mean, it's really... Especially the more you think about stuff, the less answers there are, and the more you can pinpoint things that you should be improving upon. And that's when the anxiety swirls around you, and you get to a point where you're like, I can't. I almost think sometimes one of the reasons I'm, you know, successful in my eyes is because I'm pretty quick to say, well, that was a successful thing. That went well today. I do well in auditions because it's not about getting the part. At all. That's not even a part of it. It's just like, can I go in and make those people laugh in that room? Will that performance be fun for me? Can I walk out of the audition feeling happy? And I either walk out of the audition feeling happy, or if I'm unhappy with the audition, I walk out. I'm like, you know what? That's pretty good. I did the best I could.
Well, that's a smart approach to as opposed to how can I get this job? How can I have fun? Is a slightly different but more effective. Like that's creating a good dialogue with your brain, or that's creating effective goals, as opposed to needy goals, which can fucking destroy you.
Which I've got those two primarily.
Oh yeah,
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Get at it.
You know, I think anxiety. I think anxiety is a little bit like a blue screen or like a computer crash, where you. Have you ever gotten anxious where you're really deep in thought and you're thinking about something and all of a sudden you're just like, oh fuck, I feel it. Like, I almost think it's your brain trying to pull you out of that and go, focus on this. Like it's like a trapdoor or something that gets you from over exhausting your energy.
Right. Yeah. It might even be your brain saying, like, let's put a fear response or something physical, a physical manifestation of this, because we can't handle this much activity.
You can't.
As a person who, you know, my mind started bleeding from different types of overactivity and like physical things within, you know, how I was behaving and how those affected my mind physically. I think a lot more every day about your brain and about how you need to sleep a certain amount. Not because, you know, this I'll sleep when you're dead thing. It's like you'll be dead a lot sooner because you're not doing maintenance.
Also not sleeping. It's also not sleeping.
Yeah.
Sleeping you can wake up from.
You don't know what's going to happen.
No, I know.
You always know?
No. No, I don't. But I'm pretty flexible about stuff. Like, I'm rigid about some things, but other things I'm like, well, I can't do anything about that.
How much do you sleep a night?
5 to 6 hours.
You know, you don't need, people could survive on it. I sort of medically have to get 8 hours. Well, it's 16 hours in every 48. And, you know, it certainly has made me, I feel better now than I did before, but I didn't feel that bad before when I was sleeping about 4 to 7 hours a night. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, there are, I think around 6 hours is my number. Like, if I can sleep 6 hours straight through, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
When I wake up. If I sleep, you know, 8 and I'll wake up a little groggy, and any more than that, I'm just, this is like the weird sleep hangover. Like, yeah. You've slept too much.
Yeah, and I'm definitely also sleeping less as I get older. I can see how that's going to become more and more of a problem. But I, you know, it's, to sleep is as important as it is to engage in that hour's worth of reading, yeah, or turn on a movie that, you know, you've seen before, whatever. It's just quieting your mind.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's go into kind of a zen place because, you know,
yoga,
it takes you to a place where you're just kind of centered and you know what it is. Yeah. You know what the moment is, and you know how it feels.
I have to read till I cannot keep my eyes open.
Oh, wow.
That's why I feel like
putting the book away wake you up again.
It's a little Kindle that has the backlight,
I feel like I should do yoga instead of if I just sit and try to meditate, I could go crazy.
Everybody,
but yoga at least gives you physical things to do to distract part of your brain while you sort of let go of the.
I want to do sensory deprivation.
I would go crazy.
No, it's great.
I would not like that.
Because after a while, your mind slows down because it's not working at the same rate. But everybody in Los Angeles now, the new sort of weird LA thing to do is guided meditation and transcendental meditation.
Which David Lynch has a whole place like that.
David Lynch is all about it, but like, you know, Whitney Cummings and Pete Holmes and all these people are really say it is like life-saving, the most important thing that they do.
But in David Lynch's meditation, it turns out that you're watching yourself murder someone as someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it gets weird.
Just murder the girl.
Stop thinking about it already.
Stop thinking about it. Hello.
I don't know. So transcendental meditation. I don't know. Would you guys do that?
I would try it.
I've tried.
You tried it?
I've tried. I have like 8 books on meditation. Wow. I've tried to shut my brain down, and I just cannot.
But guided meditation. That's the
That's the thing where
class for your mind.
Yeah. You know what I got really into is like meditation sounds. Like this, there's a series of CDs called the Binaural Institute.
Oh yeah,
and they have like pulses
at different frequencies.
Frequencies, and then like just like, you know, kind of stuff. And I fucking love it. I go in a dark room, put the headphones in,
I just
lay down, and I feel like I fucking wake.
The Pazzis, I have an app called Pazzis. Not
Pisces.
No, I thought you also were gonna. I thought you were gonna say Pazzis Pansari. No,
no, that's Pizzazz on sorry.
It's PZIZZ, and it basically is an app that does these 20-minute naps, and it walks you through, and it's totally refreshing.
Oh, that sounds great!
Like 20 minutes is like it just takes you to the right
moment,
and then when you wake up, you're completely refreshed.
Perfect. I'll have to get
20-minute Pazzis, PZIZZ, and they're fucking great. And it does that binaural, it does a little bit of that thing, and then this guy's walking you through.
Joe and I are both downloading that right now. We're both like, we immediately...
Because what's great about a 20-minute really nap is that you could just be at your desk and shut your door and shut your eyes, and it's great.
But when I wake up with a boner, is it going to be weird?
No, man, you got to spank that shit out.
You know what I'm saying?
And take her to
tune. You got to spank
that shit.
I like the idea of spanking ejaculate out of your penis.
Yeah.
Like,
get the fuck out.
Out. Get out of me.
Yeah. And stay out.
Spit it out. Spit it out.
I'm not getting anything here. What is it called again?
Pazzis.
Spit it.
P-Z-I-Z-Z.
P-Z-I-Z-Z.
Pazzis.
P-Z-Z-I-Z-Z.
It sounds like Pazzis. Oh, please.
Oh, please.
Pazzis. Don't even try.
My phone just shut down.
My phone was shutting down earlier also. That's another thing I think is tough. Do you guys think cell phones make us in general?
Infertile? Yes.
Yeah, do you think that they help or are they hurting?
Well, they're neutral. It's how do you use it?
No, I don't know. It's because the days or hours that I forget my phone in the office and I'm like down on another floor doing something else. It's just great.
It's great. There's a thing that, you know, one time a friend was coming to pick me up, and so I just went downstairs in front of my apartment at the time, and I was just waiting, and I realized I had forgotten my phone back upstairs, but I didn't want to like run up and get it. I just wanted to go and get lunch. And so I'm waiting there, and then I realized like, oh, I forgot how to just be here and think my own thoughts and look around and without going like, it's like, oh, I'm waiting. Well, go. And you just put your fucking nose in your phone and you're just there until they honk their horn and you're with them and you're interacting again. But like, it was just like, I forgot how to wait. I forgot how to just wait.
I'm so quick to look at my phone when I'm at the urinal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Recently, I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Is this peeing so boring? I can't even just look
ahead of me. Right? Yeah.
This used to be fine. It used to be great. Yeah, it used to be enough.
Because you need to be distracted from your own thoughts.
I occasionally try to when I remember to do it. If Kiki and I are going out to dinner, I will leave my phone in the car.
How do you think the singularity is going to help this?
You know, I think right now we all have little robots that we carry with us and we're attached to them and we feel weird when they're not with us. And that's already happened.
But what about the phones?
Yeah. Get out of town.
Get over here. Now I got to tickle your little robot. He sounds like a gremlin. I bet he's good at singing Michael McDonald songs.
Correction, TJ. It sounds like a mugwai.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting to not eat food after 12.
I like that nerd
keep
bust.
Forgetting that I should not get
I think you mean this fake thing.
Yeah. I think you mean this fake thing. That's every nerd argument.
Not one bit of credit for singing the Mogwai rules in Michael McDonald's voice, you guys.
Yeah, no, the kids at home got it.
Okay,
good. No. The kids, all the Mogwai fans.
You know, if you did
like,
it, everyone would tweet you going, no one noticed it, but it was the best part of the podcast.
Yeah, now
but now
about
you
it,
tried to own it, and you forced people into it. Now
you
it's
know,
weird.
Those are my favorite tweets. Matt, you didn't get enough for such and such a thing that you said. I like those tweets, and now we've ruined it.
I think the singularity.
You said it.
Who thought TJ Miller would get us back on track? Will you say comfort me to anyone?
It is. It's the most fun voice to sing in, right?
It's. I totally agree.
Then in Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson?
It's not.
Eddie Vedder?
I think then, you know, once technology is integrated into our biology.
Sometimes I try to practice my TJ Miller impersonation, but I can't get it. I can't get it.
You're not doing it now.
Yeah.
Thanks for the backup.
You know, the TJ Miller impersonation is just doing Pete Holmes.
Yep.
Yeah.
What? Who does this?
Yeah. Wait. What happened?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you guys are drifting into Louis Anderson.
Yeah. Well, so, I've been doing that all my life. I've been drifting into Louis Anderson my whole life.
Drifting into Louis Anderson.
I think that it. You know, I think.
Remember when Burt Reynolds used to drift into Lonnie Anderson?
Regulate all the thinking and all that kind of stuff.
Well, this might be hard to believe, but we're at 1:10.
Wow.
And it just flew by.
It did fly by, but it was fun.
We were in the singularity together.
Fun. We heard the Michael McDonald Mogwai rules.
Break it down.
We invented the pop and lock move called the
ABS. ABS.
You know, we all have little
basement
robots.
Basement trance
dance.
We learned about a new app that helps you nap.
Yep, app nap.
An application.
That's what somebody says every time.
Stressed? There's a nap for that. Yeah. What is it? It's a nap. You just take a nap.
Tired? There's a nap for that. It's 20 minutes long. depressed, there's a nap for that. It's 16 hours not leaving your room, and whenever anybody knocks on it, say, it isn't worth opening the door. Yeah!
Enjoy your burrito.
Laser!
To any burrito.
Thanks for having me, you guys. It's always fun to not be as funny as I am thoughtful.
Thank you, TJ Miller.
Not a lot.
That's how I feel every time I do someone else. I was like, I think I just was serious.
Got a lot of storms raging inside.
All right.
He's not going to stop. He's not going to stop.
Everybody.
See you in San Francisco.
I can keep this going for 6 more minutes. Very nice to see you, TJ.
Bye, Chris.
Bye, Jonah.
Bye, Ray.
See you, Matt Myra. There goes Kyle Clark with his backpack.
Bye.
I leave, then you're just going to be alone in here singing.
Kyle gets his voice on the podcast after all.
You cut it.
Gonna cut it from the podcast.
Just a bunch of bleeps.
Podcast bleeping a nana. It's a podcast bleeping Saturday night. It's a podcast. I'm truly alone. Very alone now. You could turn this part off. Everybody's gone. No, everybody's gone. Ah! I can't stop. Somebody help me. I'm having a Michael Mick panic attack.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by LegalZoom.com. Whatever your legal document needs, LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more, they've got it. Over 12 years and 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom. Start your business or protect your family today at LegalZoom.com using the offer code Nerdist.